Blog Talk Radio.
Saying, oh, that's going to be okay. This is
something serious, and this kid needs to step up a little bit in his life without losing what he had, at least in his heart. This is a top-notch film. It's fantastic for young kids, especially if you're trying to teach young kids the concept of the finality of death, and yet life still goes on. I'm not going to tell you what happens at the very end of the film, because it's what takes this movie out of the sadness and into the joy. And I rate this movie very highly. The next film, I'm going to jump 22 years later, or 20 years later about, and it's A Boy and His Dog. Now, this is a movie that most of you out there probably have never heard of, but it stars a very young Don. Yeah? Oh, you've heard it, Greg?
This is the first time, and I noticed one of the stars in it, and it just floored me who the kid was in this film, the boy of The Boy and the Dog. It just floored me as to who it was. It was pretty cool.
This was an independent film, came out in 1975, stars Don Johnson, a very, very, very young Don Johnson. And this happens in the year 2024, so it's right around the corner here. It's a sci-fi classic, and it's post-apocalyptic. Mankind has done everything but wipe itself out, and people are getting by, surviving on the scraps of the civilization that was once before. And the civilization was pretty great. They had genetically engineered dogs so they could be telepathic. And that's this dog, and the dog, and his name is Blood, is a sheepdog. And he's just, his best friend is this kid, and the reason why the best friend is this kid is because, well, he's lost his hunting instincts. And so if this kid doesn't feed him, the dog's going to die. But yet the dog is super intelligent, and without that dog smarts, the kid is probably going to get lost somewhere in the desert and never to be seen again. So they develop this symbiotic relationship, and they end up finding a place where underground, where there's this society that's a mockery of the society of the 1970s, and where everybody is dressed in clown faces, and just and it's surreal in that respect. And the movie progresses where, you know, what really matters is this boy and this dog are together. There's a love interest in there. He even leaves the love interest. And by the way, how he leaves the love interest, that's worth watching the film about. So this is a pretty darn good movie. It's not rated too high like a lot of sci-fi flicks. By the way, this movie was written by Harlan Ellison, the famous sci-fi fantasy writer. My final movie is one that came out just a few years ago. Not a few years ago, about 15 years ago, Best in Show. And this film is about, yes, the dog shows and the people and the dogs who are a part of them. You have almost every single type of person that you're going to want, and they're dogs. And what's so interesting is at sometimes you don't know what the difference is between the owner and the dog. And it is hilarious. It is a marvelous showing of what these dog shows can be like. It stars Fred Willard, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. And this film is going to, if when you see this film, know that most of the script was improv. And so what you're getting is something that's raw and delightful and worth your time.
Sounds like a plethora of really good films so far, Larry.
I love Best in Show. It's one of my favorite films.
Oh, Best in Show?
Yeah, Best in
Show. Mm-hmm.
Kind of, interesting movie. All right, Karen, you've got three to provide us with tonight, so why don't you go ahead and let us know about your three films and what you thought about them, and and we'll keep going.
Okay, well, two of my three films about dogs were dogs, and then there was one doggy film that wasn't such a dog. So let me start with the film that wasn't much of a dog first. And my first film is Lassie. It's the latest version of Lassie. It was done in 2005, filmed over in England and Scotland. Stars Peter O'Toole and Samantha Morton, who is a very well-known British actress. And it's basically a story, it's this heartwarming, typical Lassie story about a family that's very poor, and they have a dog, Lassie. It's the story set at wartime. I think it's probably World War II. And they need to sell the dog to get money. So they sell the dog to this very rich, very, very wealthy British family, nobility, basically. And Lassie doesn't get the memo and keeps coming back home, and the family keeps taking him back to the new owners, and Lassie keeps running back. Finally, the new owners say, screw this, we're going to Scotland. So they take a train all the way to Scotland. Lassie makes it back from Scotland all the way back to the home to these people who keep giving her back to the new owners. I'm like, Lassie, get the memo. I mean, take a hint. But anyway, it's a rather heartwarming story, because the acting is actually pretty good, and Peter O'Toole just elevates practically anything that he's in. Samantha Morton, again, is really good. I mean, she just has these looks that'll break your heart. And Lassie, I don't know what they paid that dog, but that dog just went up and down and all around the world and through all kinds of things to get back to this family that keeps giving him away. Beautiful photography. I mean, the cinematography was just stunning, and not a lot of overacting. So, I think it's a good family flick to watch. You know, it would be fun. You know, it's kind of a fun way to spend a bit of an afternoon if you're interested in a nice, heartwarming story about a sweet family. The boy who is Lassie's owner is very sweet, and he makes friends with the girl of the new owner, and she's very sweet too. So it's nice seeing movies with kids in them where the kids are actually nice kids, not brats. I really appreciate that. So I would say out of 10 stars, I'd probably give it 6. But, you know, it's worth watching. My second film is 101 Dalmatians. This movie is the 1996 live-action version with Glenn Close, Jeff Daniels, and Jolie Richardson, Joan Plowright. So, and it is directed by Charles Sturridge. Stunning, I mean, just a stunning cast, right? I mean, I'm sorry, the movie was directed by Stephen Herrick, but the cast was just stunning. I mean, Joan Plowright is practically a grand dame of the British theater. Jolie Richardson does amazing work, Jeff Daniels, all that. So that's why I was so disappointed in this movie. There's only one good thing about this movie, really, and those are the crooks. Glenn Close is so over the top, she morphs into really amazing as Cruella de Vil. And then Hugh Laurie plays one of her minions, who's also a crook, and he was awesome. I mean, he's just terrific. But the rest of the story was just so bad. I mean, the dogs, I mean, were practically, I don't know, they would have scored like 200 on an IQ test for humans, because they just know so much, and they communicate with all kinds of species, and they're 10 times smarter than any human. And it's like, are you kidding me, people? And then, of course, at one point, these Dalmatians apparently are having so many dogs, and this family's like, well, you know, we need you to take in 101 Dalmatians. They're like, well, okay, we'll just get a bigger house. I'm like, really? Really, people? Come on. So this movie, I just thought, was terrible. but if you really want to see Glenn Close do totally over-the-top evil lean, this is your movie. So check it out if you want to see that, but there's no other reason to watch this movie. My third movie is even worse, Stepdogs. This movie was made in 2014. I couldn't begin to tell you who was in it. I think Charles Sturridge directed it. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible movie about some woman who's a movie star who marries this kind of like farmer type guy out in the Canadian wilderness, and it's like a match made in heaven, except the dogs don't get along because her dog is this really stuck up pooch and his dog is a really I don't know, some sort of like wild and crazy German shepherd, and somehow they're supposed to get along. Who cares? And then they make the dogs talk like humans, so the dogs have voices, except that they're actual live dogs. And it's a typical kind of like Ransom of Red Chief plot where the criminals are bumbling and the dogs are smarter than everybody and the humans are halfway stupid. Don't care. Don't care. This is like a one. This is a one star out of two, maybe. That's how bad it is. Don't watch this movie. This is terrible. I did it for you. I watched the movie so you don't have to. That's how I feel about Stepdogs.
All right.
Okay, then.
Did you like
it? No, I hated it.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we were clear.
Oh, right. One thing I do want to point out, though, before I, in Lassie, I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised to see Peter Dinklage also had a role in this movie, a very, very nice role. And he kept saying, winter is coming. I'm like, really? Is that kind of a hint about your next big role? Okay, let's see.
Thanks, Karen. I appreciate your candor and your advice to our listeners, about especially about that last film. Two films to watch and one definitely not to watch, or one film to really watch, one film to kind of watch, and one film don't even worry about it because you watched it for them. I like that. That's you are a martyr. You're a martyr. Okay. Well, the last three films are my films, ladies and gentlemen, so I want to talk about them. And I was going to take a different order, but I think I'm going to start this way. So my first film is directed by David Frankel, and that's Marley and Me. And this stars Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston. Basically, the essence of this film is a young couple gets married, and they're starting their new lives trying to be big newspaper reporters and columnists on this film. And it's their coming of age for themselves, really, in their new achievements. And they decide to get a dog. Owen Wilson's character decides to get a dog for his new wife, and to kind of push aside the want of having a child, and just to see if they can actually take responsibility on anything, and in this case, this young dog. And, of course, this is one of the films where, when I was looking at films where dogs were involved, where human element always seems to take over, and we're really looking at the human story, the human issues, mostly in a lot of films. And the animals play a second fiddle, even though the movies say that they're about the animals. So I was looking at that in this case. This is a movie that kind of evolved. We're talking about the animal all the time. The animal plays a very important part in the film. But early on, it's more as a metaphor, not truly about the dog so much. And then later in the film, as the film progresses, it gets to be more and more about the dog, more and more how the dog really affects this family all the way to the very end, and which is really the climax of how much this dog means to this family. So it kind of started off a little bit more about the people, and then as it progressed, it became more and more about the dog. So I appreciated that in this film. So the other film that I had, and I want to say about this film, this is a really good film. I'm not saying I'm overly sensitive all the time, but this one did perch a tear out of me. So I would recommend this film. And the next film I wanted to talk about took a horror element with regard to dogs. And one of my interests in trying to see the film was to see if this was truly more about the dog and not the people so much. And I was sadly mistaken. This is a horror movie, and the movie is called Cujo. This was actually written by Stephen King, directed by Louis Teague, and this starred Dee Wallace and Daniel Hyde Kelly. in this particular film. And this film came out back in 1983, and so it's more of it's an older film. But I remember when this film came out and how it was touted as being this horrific film. Well, I'll be honest with you. The first half of the film was boring. It was very hard to watch early on, and I think, to be honest with you, I did catch a nap in there for a few moments during this film. Now, the second half of the film was quite the opposite. It did get a little bit more interesting, and the true horror of the film's essence came out in the second half of the film. Now, I'll be honest with you, for Cujo to be this horrific dog that becomes rabid in the film and all the damage that it does and the horrific things that it's supposed to do, I still wasn't overly impressed. I'm not a big horror film guy necessarily, but I really like the films where the horror element is something that could possibly happen in real life. And I thought this would be that film for me. And I was a little disappointed. And of the three films that I'm talking about, it also was rated the least in some of the other critic polls. So for me, Cujo, if you're just going to come in on the second half of the film, it's worth watching. If you're going to watch the entire film, make sure you take a nap in between just to make sure you get through the rest of the film. And horror elements, especially retrospective to even horror elements of that era, this just wasn't that scary, and it wasn't that horrific. It was a sad, certain things that happened in the film, there are certain points that were sad in the film that made you, you might have jumped a little bit, and it made you care for the main family in the film a little bit, but it wasn't this major horror film, and maybe that's because I've seen worse, but not my favorite of the three films that I'm talking about. Now, my favorite of all the three films is actually an animated feature. And this movie came out in 2008, and it's called Bolt, and this is a Disney film. This is a Byron Howard and Chris Williams directed film. And this particular film stars John Travolta and a very young Miley Cyrus and Susie Essman. And I'll be honest with you, when you watch this movie, you care about the main character totally throughout, from the beginning of the film to the end of the film. He's adorable in the beginning, this particular Bolt, who's the main character, dog in this film, to the middle of the film, to the end of the film, because you're on the journey. This dog goes through a multiple of journeys, retrospective. He goes a journey from being a puppy who shows an assertive nature, which is the reason why his owner, Penny, buys him originally. Penny is a wonderful character for this dog, and Penny's character doesn't take away from Bolt's character. This is one of those films where the dog was the main character throughout the film. Now, animated, you have a little bit more control over the animal being emotional, being assertive, being strong, being all the different things emotionally that we see in humans, but in this dog. But still, the dog is king in this film. So the essence of this film is we have a dog who is given super exceptional powers through science to help protect his owner, which is Penny, by her father, who is a major scientist who's just been kidnapped. So that's how this basically begins. And so Penny and Bolt go out, and they're trying to do all they can to get to the evil Mr. the mad villain with the green eye. And so they're doing all these different things, and they've got, you know, it's like watching James Bond meets, in like Flint meets the new James Bond. I mean, it's almost like you're watching Secret Agents throughout this whole thing, and it's the combination of Bolt and Penny and Bolt's powers. But then the truth and reality comes to play when Bolt finds out that he really doesn't have superpowers. It's really something else that transpires that makes Bolt realize that even though he doesn't have these powers, he still has the power to still affect his will upon the outcome of what really happens, and trying to find his owner, Penny, throughout this movie. He's told that Penny is, or he believes that Penny is kidnapped, because that's pretty much what he was protecting her throughout the scenarios of the majority of the film. And so he's on a quest with some newfound friends that help him realize that he is more than what he thinks he is. And his true essence is to be that saving grace, that strong individual. And it's really interesting to see him, the evolution of this particular character from beginning to end. I really enjoyed this film. I enjoyed the character of Bolt. I think this is definitely worth watching. And this is a film that, again, it's an animated feature from Disney, so it's definitely a film that parents and children can see together. And it's a great story, and it has its ups and downs, but its ups and downs are very similar to how life truly is, what you think you are, what you really are, and even that can elevate you to what you can be someday. So this is a really wonderful film, and I really enjoyed this film. So I suggest this for everybody to watch. Again, this is Bolt, made by Disney, and came out in 2008. A great animated film about dogs and cats.
Oh, check it out.
Hamster. Yeah. It's a great film. So with all the films that we talked about, you guys, which one was your favorite of each thing? I know you kind of gave us an overview as to which one wasn't, but which one was your favorite, and what did you like about that favorite? Take like a minute to give us an idea about that. Go on, why don't you start, Larry?
For me, it's got to be Old Yeller. This is just simply one of the best movies for the whole family that I've ever seen. It's not fluff, and yet it's very entertaining. It really gives something to it. You really walk away from the film knowing something you didn't know before, and something that can affect your life. Whereas of the other films that I mentioned, the other two films, they don't do that. They're very entertaining, and you walk away maybe with a laugh and knowing that you spent some quality time with a decent movie. This movie goes beyond that.
Karen, why don't you give us a...
Well, mine out of the three, I don't know, take a guess, Lassie. the 2005 version. It's really nice to see Peter O'Toole in a movie. It's nice to see Peter Dinklage pre Game of Thrones saying "Winter's coming" several times, and Lassie is, to me, it's just a compelling presence as far as dogs are concerned. I don't know. I'm sure there've been a succession of dogs that played Lassie, but the things that they have the dog do as a character, pretty stunning things, pretty amazing things for a dog. And you know, the dogs that they have perform, perform beautifully in this film. And like I said, it's nice to see kids in a movie that aren't brats or know-it-alls. They're very sweet kids, and you really care about them. So, that would be my favorite of the three.
You know, it's interesting about Lassie. I think I saw a lot of the early Lassie films and even the Lad, a Dog films, which were directly related to those films. And it's amazing how they can keep doing the film over and over and over again, and it still has some kind of appeal to the masses. And a remake like this, you would think it would probably be not as good as the others, but I think from what you've said and also what I had heard, that it was a pretty decent film.
Yeah.
And, you know, take a look at the whole franchise that was built around Lassie, where none of these other films had this huge franchise behind it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for listening to us here on A Real Point of View on Blog Talk Radio. We invite you to come back and listen to our archive shows. We have a lot of shows with a lot of great movies that we're discussing here on Blog Talk Radio. You can leave comments here on Blog Talk Radio. Under our insignia here. You can leave comments at A Real Movie Guy on Twitter and some comments, Point of View on Facebook. Thank you again for tuning in, and we hope you hang out with us again on another one of our episodes. Thanks again, and you guys have a good night. Night, Larry. Night, Karen.
Night, everyone.
Night.